Telegraph.
Welcome to the Bush Telegraph, where I, Mickey Noonan, ask Jen Offord, man or bear?
Well, bear, obviously.
Indeed, Jen, you and nearly every other woman. So, a little explanation. TikTok and other social media has been ablaze with chat about whether women would rather be stuck in the woods with a man they don't know or a bear that they also don't know, just to be clear.
That is not where I thought this was going. But my answer remains the same.
Yet 7 out of 8 women without hesitation chose the bear. And men, hashtag not all men, have taken this very personally, angrily explaining why women are stupid to choose the bear, / still not taking no for a fucking answer. It may not surprise you to learn, Jen, that men have raped and or murdered more women than bears have.
That's not funny, but, you know...
It may not surprise you to learn, Jen, that if you leave a bear alone and mind your business, you will be completely fine. And it may not surprise you to learn, Jen, that women who have been attacked by bears haven't been interrogated as to what they were wearing at the time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, oh, bear, I think, definitely.
Quite.
I mean, I guess I could change that to male police officer or bear.
Well, Mick, we've talked quite a bit about the police in England and Wales over the past few years, specifically about how they are failing women when it comes to violence, be it sexual, domestic. The stories are grim.
Yeah.
Of course, we all remember Sarah Everard, so I probably don't need to remind you, but I will. Everard was kidnapped, raped and murdered by serving officer Wayne Cousins, who was able to detain her by showing her his police warrant card and telling her she'd broken lockdown rules. She hadn't, not that that matters. Cousins is serving a whole life order for his crimes. The incident, of course, highlighted the problem that women face when it comes to putting their trust in the police force. An incident reported in the last week raises that thorny issue again after a woman motorist was waved down on the M1 in Leicestershire by a man posing as a police officer. According to BBC News, who spoke to the woman in question, the man waved what appeared to be a police warrant card at her while driving closely in an unmarked car, signalling for her to pull over. She said she had been speeding at the time and thought maybe she should, until she realised that his warrant looked a bit dodgy. Fortunately, that woman did not stop. Thank God she didn't have to rely on a kindly bus driver to pull over.
Just flag one down, Jen. Just flag one down.
They don't usually stop when you're waiting at a bus stop. So anyway, let's not go into that.
Don't come at me with your negativity, Jen. No, just flag one down.
Yeah. Anyway, she later reported the incident and the man's car registration to the police. Now, the incident took place in March last year and was initially treated as a complaint against the police, not as a crime. And an investigation began during which, and this is by Northamptonshire Police, during which it was found that he was not a police officer, but he had previously worked for the police in a civilian role. The complaint was then handed to another force to investigate it for complicated bureaucratic reasons, to then be investigated as a crime rather than a complaint. However, because of these delays, Leicestershire Police said that they had passed the 6-month limit for investigating such offences.
Fucking hell. Oh my God. TikTok, yep. Please. TikTok.
Yeah. The woman received a letter from the Professional Standards Department of Northamptonshire Police, the force initially tasked with investigating, which said, unfortunately, early misinformation that this male was a police officer with Northamptonshire Police led to this becoming a complaint investigation as opposed to a criminal investigation.
It's very passive, isn't it?
Well, Mickey, I've made a complaint against the police before, as you know, and I got about 6 sides of A4 about all of the things that I did wrong. And then at the end, they signed off with, we appreciate that the officer in question could probably do a bit of training on this.
Oh, fucking hell. Did that make you feel way better, Jen?
I sent a very, very angry email back to the person that sent it to me. Anyway, so going back to this, whose fault was it, I wonder, that it took such a long time? I mean, there does seem to be an easier way of establishing these facts, right?
Right.
Doesn't it feel like it should take 6 months, right?
Right.
Yeah. The force later spoke to the man on the phone
Gave him a quick ring.
He denied the allegations and no further action was taken. So he is still out there doing his thing. I'd like to say at least he's on the police's radar, but that doesn't really seem to mean very much, does it?
Wow. Well, you know, strong results all around there. Fucking
yeah.
Hell.
Yeah. Ooh.
I have some sad news, Jenster. The remarkable Chris Helenger has died, aged just 38. But what a legacy she has left. Chris founded the breast cancer charity Copperfield after she was diagnosed with breast cancer back in 2009 at just 23 years old. And she succeeded in getting cancer education to be included in the school curriculum. Copperfield has done wonders when it comes to getting women to check their boobs. Even if Chris's life mission, that the charity she created would no longer need to exist, with late diagnosis of breast cancer eradicated in her lifetime, hasn't quite come to pass. Chris's final message came in an Instagram post from her beloved cat, Lady Marmalade, who said, "I wanted to share the sad news with you all that my favourite person in the whole world has died. For 15 years, she has been living with secondary breast cancer. She hasn't lost a battle, she wasn't in a fight, and she certainly wouldn't want you to see her death as tragic. She was simply living. She was 38 and died with fulfillment and a heart full of love." Her final message to you would be one that probably involved checking your chest, getting in some cold water, talking more about death and dying, that even the turdiest of turds are glitterable, that you should always see the silly side of life, that she loved her life, and that Neighbours 2.0 is worth another chance. Oh, bless her.
Aww.
In its official statement, Copperfield added, "Please remember the amazing life Chris led and the things she achieved. But above all else, honour her memory by checking your chest. It could just save your life." So, birds, give your boobs a feel. Have a look at Copperfield's website to find out information on what you should be looking for and checking for. And personally, I just want to say thank you to Chris for an image I will have forever. My late dear Silster dressed as a giant boob to raise money for Copperfield in the Great North Run.
Oh, that is sad, but she did a lot of good in her lifetime. Mick, would you like some good news?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. You might remember a bit of a furore a couple of weeks back after it came to light that the Garrick Club, a private members club based in London, still had a men-only members list.
Members? I mean, mm-hmm. It's such old, isn't it?
Members. That list included, until a couple of weeks ago, Simon Case, the head of the civil service, and MI6 chief Richard Moore. They resigned from the club after the membership list was made public. Melvin Bragg did not. Neither did the King, Jacob Rees-Mogg, or a host of senior judges, lawyers, journalists, and rock star. I would love to know who those rock stars are, because a party with Kwasi Kwarteng and John Simpson doesn't sound too rocking to me.
I'm with you on this. I would also like to know. Also, just going back to Simon Case and Richard Moore, I love that they resigned when the list, the rules and the list were announced. Like, they'd just been going, oh, I mean, surely there are women members. They just aren't ever here when we are.
Where are all the women? Oh, look, there's Mark Knopfler. One of the rock stars, apparently. Anyway, look, they've changed their rules. As of Tuesday, fucking hell. Nearly 60% of those
wow
who voted agreed that women should now be admitted to the club, which was founded in 1831. So there you go, Mick. Now women can be elitist fucks too.
I know. I find it really hard to care. And I know why I should care, because the fact that, you know, these people are there making big decisions, not for it in particular, coming up with some groundbreaking stuff that you want women to be involved in, right? But I just find it really hard to care. I do find it really hard to care.
Nearly 60% is a real kick in the tits.
That was what the other 40% voted for, yeah. Jen. Just kick them in the tits. On that note, we're going to take an ad break for anyone listening on the free feed, but we will be back shortly with Sexism of the Week and Jenny off the Blocks. Go on, kids, do one. All right, Mickey here with an advert for BetterHelp Therapy Online. You all right? Such a small question, and sometimes such a big question too, eh? Now, regular listeners will know I am no stranger to depression, and while over time, and with the help of some decent counselling and brilliant friends and family, I've established a toolkit to help when the constantly dripping tap of life gets a bit too much, that does not mean I am a stress-free human rainbow skipping through meadows. I mean, who is? We all carry around different stresses, big and small, and sometimes we can deal, and sometimes it's much harder to cope. Life, innit? Right now, I have a teenage puppy to deal with, and although I love her very, very much, she can be a lot. There, said it. And as quick a fix as it seemed to say, I'm fine, and push it all down into the big inside box and put that lid on. For me, that hasn't been a great long-term solution, in that if I don't get it off my chest, it will at some point come bubbling up, and it's never been one to pick its moments in a good way. I find talking means I can avoid it exploding out of me like a messy emotional volcano all over my nana's carpet. Also, during my various times in talk therapy, I discovered that saying something out loud or writing it down can make it seem much more manageable than allowing it to swirl around and grow ever bigger in my head. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I've found knowing how to reach out is sometimes the toughest bit, but BetterHelp is entirely online. Boom. Which means it couldn't be easier. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist, then work your sessions around your schedule. With more than 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Standard Issue listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/standard. That's betterhelp.com/standard.
Well, you have equal pay, but, you know, they're not equal, are they?
Sexism of the week.
It's that time of the week where we ask, did hashtag me too go hashtag me too far? And to which I answer, well, on April the 27th, an appeals court overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction. Some of you might be thinking, 2 weeks ago, that's not very topical, Mick. But I'd put money on a lot of you thinking, hey, what? Sorry, this is news to me. Because I'll grant you, there is a lot going on in the world. A lot of it is on fire. So Weinstein's conviction being tossed on a legal technicality has mostly flown under the radar. Also, Weinstein does remain a convicted rapist and he does remain in custody because he was convicted in Los Angeles in 2022 of another rape. So he's not gone full Bill Cosby, who was released from prison the same day his conviction of sexual assault was overturned on a legal technicality. And, you know, at least he's not currently the bookie's favourite to be president of America again, like convicted sexual predator Donald Trump. Weinstein, by the way, though sick as a dog, shall we send him some fucking flowers, is, quote, cautiously excited that this ruling will have a major impact on the appeal of his LA rape conviction, and he might at some point be a free man again. The legal technicality that led to the overturning boils down to too many women accusing Weinstein of sexual assault. Okay, I am being a little bit facetious because I am fucking livid, but basically the Court of Appeals said the judge overseeing Weinstein's initial case had erred when he allowed the testimony of women who made allegations about the serial sexual predator for which he was never charged to be admissible. I am fuming now, but actually, when I first read the news about this, I got very teary because it feels like such an in-your-face indictment of how much the world hates women and protects men. And it's not that I don't see evidence of that every single fucking day, but this small but landmark win being erased is a huge affront to women. And I say small, because for all the talk that Me Too had brought down some big bastards and wasn't that a kick in the nuts for big patriarchy, and maybe it all needs to calm down now, women, let's not go too far. And by that, we mean so far as to men being held accountable for their actions. This was a small win. Tiny. One high-profile rapist behind bars. Because as you all know by now, not least because we've wanged on about it until we are blue in the face, usually rape isn't reported. When it is reported, it is often not charged. And when it is charged, it rarely leads to a conviction. Me Too hasn't changed this. Me Too hasn't doled out disproportionate punishments as concerned advocates for the accused despaired would happen. Me Too, it seems, has simply underlined just how entrenched the social forces that create male impunity are, that any reckonings can be swiftly unreckoned, and that women shouldn't even dare to be cautiously excited that might change anytime soon.
Yeah, I didn't see this reported on until the weekend, as in the weekend just gone. Yeah. I didn't see it at all. Maybe I was hiding from the news while we were having our week of getting everything ready for Fair the enough. Podcast. But yeah, I didn't see it. And you're right. It's like it's like the level of anger that I felt when Donald Trump was elected. You know, when you're just like, oh, do you hate women that much that you're prepared to put this fucking guy in charge? Like, do you hate women that much?
And what's the answer, Jen?
Yes, they do.
And we can't escape it. And that's what makes me so teary. And that's coming from a white Western woman, you know, who would be seen as privileged in so many ways. And, you know, I own that. But this is us. What about what's happening to the rest of women?
Yeah.
It sucks a dog's dick.
It surely does.
And this is why we choose bears.
You play ball like a girl!
Go on, do one, kid. Jenny off the blocks.
It's that time of the week where we sob mournfully into our scarves as we discuss all things women's sport. Look, this is the last time I'm going to talk about Emma Hayes in a while because, as you know, she's leaving Chelsea as their manager at the end of this season. She's off to coach the US women's national team, at which point, regrettably, she becomes my nemesis.
Are you going to tear down all your posters, Jen?
Yeah. It's like that, you know, that gif with the woman from EastEnders when she loses her shit and she starts like throwing things over.
You'll be like, I don't even remember them filming that, but it's clearly me.
Yeah. It's kind of like when Aaron Kirbishley went to West Ham and it still hurts, Meg.
It's all right. Take a breather. Come on.
Yeah. But actually, look, Aaron Kirbishley has even more relevance to what I'm talking about today than anyone could have predicted. For those of you who didn't take too much of an interest in Charlton Athletic in the early noughties, who are you? he was Charlton Athletic's manager for 15 years before leaving for pastures new. We were an established Premier League side back then, even chasing a spot in Europe one season. But anyone who listens to this podcast knows those times, they are no more.
What if I wanted to find out a little bit more about Charlton Athletic at this juncture, Jen? Are there any books you could recommend?
Oh, well, Ricky, funnily enough, there is a book. It's called The Year of the Robin, Watching It All Go Wrong for Charlton Athletic and the World. It's kind of a bit about Charlton, but also a bit of a take on modern Britain as seen through the eyes of a small southeast London football club.
I only want to read it if it's written by a woman, Jen.
Oh, well, it's actually written by me, Jen Offord, and it's available on Amazon, Waterstones and all good bookshops. Thanks very much. Anyway, Hayes, going back to Emma Hayes, she has enjoyed enormous success at Chelsea. She's a brilliant manager and she has won almost everything there is to win. But it's been a slightly different picture this year. I mean, like, slightly. They didn't make the FA Cup final this year for the first time in 4 years, and they got knocked out of the Champions League in the semi-finals last month. But they've only ever made the Champions League final once before, so it's not like a huge diversion.
It's not like they were doing it every week.
Yeah, exactly.
That, I mean, that's my knowledge of football, isn't it? Sure.
they can only do it once a season, Mick, but thank you. Yeah. So we're getting towards the end of the season now, and after losing 4-3 to Liverpool a week ago, Hayes basically conceded defeat in the WSL. But Man City then went and lost to Arsenal, leaving the title now wide open as Chelsea beat Bristol 8-0 at the weekend.
That is the most football commentator I have ever heard you. Leaving the title now wide open. They thought it was all over. It isn't yet.
I like to speak in cliches. I messaged my boyfriend who supports Manchester United the other night and said, hard day at the office as a sports journalist.
Well, my husband also supports Manchester United, so I'll text him that later.
Yeah, hard day at the office. Anyway, Chelsea now trail City by 3 points, but they have a game in hand. Annoyingly, This new format was supposed to avoid such things, but that match is tonight as we record against Spurs. So by the time you listen to this, the picture may well have changed again. But what I'm saying is it's tight and it could go to the final day of the season on the 18th. So coming full circle back to curbs now.
It's always curbs.
Always curbs in my heart. And no, let's move on. Or... if you want more famous examples, Arsene Wenger, David Moyes, Sir Alex Ferguson, something you know a bit about now, Mick.
I've certainly heard that name before, yeah.
There's very much a precedent for rocky times when a club loses a long-term manager. But to imply that Hayes' time at Chelsea has come to an end with a bit of a whimper feels a bit nuts to me. Yeah. Like she's very much up there. And of course, like she'd have liked to have won the Champions League. But an English club has only won it once. That was Arsenal, 2007, in case you're interested. The idea that a club will just sort of rally in that way for this fairy tale ending is a bit nuts, really, isn't it?
It is a bit nuts. I find the kind of pressure put on managers, I understand it, but it is just bonkers. It goes past any sort of realistic expectations every time.
It's stupid. Like the Spurs manager, whose name I cannot pronounce, Ange... Pentecostacoglu or something like that. My apologies. He's Greek, Australian. But at the start of the season, everyone was like, oh, we love him. He's the best. And then it's just like, it's already like, sack him. Sack him now. It's just like, come on, guys. Like, you know.
Give him a chance.
Get some fucking perspective. But anyway, she's leaving. So what will happen next for Chelsea will be interesting. Fran Kirby has announced that she's also going to leave at the end of the season. She is a big, big name and a presence at the club. Maybe others will follow. Who knows? But for now, I think Hayes deserves the respect she has 100% earned over her course of her time there.
Absolutely. I mean, I know her through you. And I like her very much. Not quite like posters on my wall stage, but I think she's done a cracking job. And well done, Emma. Good luck as Jen's nemesis. More news and sport next time.
Standard issue for all women.